So first I'll describe for you, I'll just remind you sort of in physical terms what it is we had discovered, and then I'll show you that there's some very interesting geometry behind all of that. Okay, so so here is Alice's space. So, and Alice is at rest in her space. And here's her clock ticking away, and here's her spatial axis. And she can see things happening in her space at various times according to her watch. Okay, so she can see various events happening. So an event is something that happens at some point in space at some time. So that's an event. So it happened at this location in space at a certain time. And here's another event happening at a different location in space at a different time. Okay, so let's suppose we just put those two events in Alice's space-time. So the first event was over here, and maybe it occurs at this time. So at this location, at this time, is an event. Okay, and then a little bit to the right of that, and a little bit later, is another event. So a bit to the right, and a little bit later in time, is another event. So this event over here. Okay, so for Alice, those two events happen at different locations in space. One of them is here, and one of them is there. Okay, so there's a spatial separation between them, and there's also a time separation between them. Okay. Now, if I have two events happening like that, like this and this, you can imagine that there is someone walking in Alice's space, drifting through her space at a constant velocity, such that those two events happen at the same location for that person. Okay, so this person is drifting at a speed such that when this event happens, he crosses that location. And then he drifts across, and then this event happens, and he crosses that location. Okay, so for Bob's point of view, the first event happens right here at his microphone, and the second event happens right here at the same location. Okay, so it's always possible then to find a Bob. If you've got two events like this, it's always possible to find a Bob that will connect those two events. Okay, so here is the Bob. The Bob is just this one here. Okay, so for Bob, these two events happen right on his world line, right at his location, at two different times. So this event happens first. He's watching his clock tick, 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 tick. Then the second event happens. Okay, and during so the space between those two events, during that time, his clock is ticking away. Okay, and what we had discovered is this sort of thing. We had a triangle like this, and we had. Suppose that between those two events, a certain amount of time elapses for Alice. She says, oh, an amount delta TA elapses for me. So since we're plotting C, speed of light times TA, the length of this side in meters will be C delta TA. And Alice says, well, the separation in space, the separation in distance between those two events is this distance here, delta XA. And for Bob, the amount of time elapsed for him will be delta TB. It'll be different from delta TA. Okay, and we're plotting C times TB, so it'll be C times delta TB. Okay? So that's sort of the physical picture. If we have these two events, we can always connect them, provided that the events happen far enough apart in time such that a light signal could go from one to the other. Then it's always possible to find a Bob that will connect those two events. For whom those events happen at the same location. Okay, and then the time elapsed for Bob, we discover there's a time dilation. So if this is 10 seconds for Alice, this might be less. This might be 9 or 8 or 7 seconds for Bob. Okay, and to figure that out, what do I put here? How is delta TB related to delta TA? Not K. K is in this situation. So K is, if I have CT here, it'll be K times CT. Okay, so if I have a 45 here, what we've got here is a 90. And we've got this 90 here. So we're taking this total distance here, this one. So this time is related to this time by a K, but this time is related to this time by what? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, square root of 1 over C squared.
Okay, so if we have a right triangle like this, then on this hypotenuse, the time elapsed on the hypotenuse is related to the time on the opposite side here by this factor, square root of 1 minus b squared over c squared. So this is the time dilation factor. So that guy's time dilation, this k is Doppler. And that k is 1 plus the square root of 1 plus v over c over 1 minus v over c. Okay, so they're slightly different. Okay. Well, so what? So that's sort of the physical situation. And we've got the, so that's the physical time for Alice on her clock. That's the physical time for Bob on his clock. Okay, but now, what I claim is that there's some geometry underlying this picture. I've got a triangle there, and I might have some kind of geometry associated with this triangle. So let's try to play around with this formula right here and see if we can discover some geometry lying inside that. Okay, so what we'll do is we will square both sides of that equation first. So the left-hand side is c squared delta tb squared. And when I square the right-hand side, the square root disappears. So I get a 1 minus v squared over c squared times c squared delta ta squared. OK, so what? Well, let's look at this v. What is this v? Velocity is distance over time. What is the distance in this case? Delta xa. That's right. So Bob is drifting across Alice's frame, and he covers this much distance in that much time. Okay, so the distance is delta xa, and the time is delta ta. So distance that Bob moves in Alice's space divided by the time that it takes him to do so in according to Alice's watch. That's what v is. Okay, so let's just plug that inside there. Okay, so what do we get? We get 1 minus, I'm going to go v divided by v squared. I square this and I divide by c squared. Okay, so there's the v squared. And I also have a divide by c squared. And then I still have this, c squared delta ta squared. Okay, so now if I just expand the bracket here, the first term is c squared delta ta squared subtract what? Delta xa squared. Okay, and so that's c squared delta tb squared. Okay. That's a very important relationship. So that's a relationship between the squared lengths of the three sides of that triangle. Remember that because we're plotting speed of light times time, everything is, this is measured in meters and so is this. So space and time are both measured in meters. Everything's measured in meters. This is meters squared equals meters squared minus meters squared. Okay? So there's some relationship between the squared lengths of the sides of that triangle. So let's just simplify that expression. Okay, so let's call the time according to Alice A, the distance according to Alice B, and the time according to Bob C. Everything measured in meters. What is this thing telling me? How do I express this equation in terms of A, B, and C? C squared equals so, does that look right? Not quite right, right? What's that minus sign doing there? Go away, yes. Okay, so let's just do a simple example here. So, for example, suppose this side were 5, so 5 meters according to Alice on her clock, and Bob had drifted a distance 3 meters between those two events. What is that? What is the hypotenuse? 4. Because we go 5 squared is 25 minus 3 squared is 9 is 16. Square root of that is 4. Does that look right? Okay, like it's saying that this side is shorter than that side. How could that possibly be? Yeah.
I think it's because on the high, if you compare the 4 and the 5, like the distance between 1 second and 2 second, the 4 is much longer than the 5, so that's why you add them up, you get 4, and then with the 5, then you add them up, because it's time dilated.
Yeah, so it's time dilated, that's right. So the fact that this is shorter than this is precisely because of the time dilation. So we know that if 5 seconds elapses for Alice, then because Bob is moving relative to Alice, Alice will look at Bob's clock and see that less time has elapsed, so time is running slow. So this hypotenuse has to be slower than this based on just the physics. Okay, but mathematically, we're not used to that kind of situation. Yeah?
Can you imagine if this is on the floodplain, that somehow will have some estrogen shape, and we just project it on?
Yeah, so that's a great idea. So the suggestion is that maybe there is some kind of geometry here, except it's not just geometry on a flat plane. Like, for example, you know, suppose I have a sphere like this, and I have 3 points on this sphere. When I connect these 3 points, I'd like to connect them with straight lines. Well, of course, it's a sphere, so from the outside, I can't really connect them with straight lines. They have the curve. They have to have the curvature of the sphere, at least. Right? But so straight line might be the shortest distance. What's the shortest distance between 2 points on the Earth, on a globe? A geodesic, right? So that's the path that a plane takes. Okay? So that path might look something like this. And let's put these guys down on the equator. So here's the equator going around. So the equator is an example of a geodesic section of the equator. And so the triangle might look like that. Okay, so if I draw a triangle on a closed surface, on a flat surface, the sum of the interior angles is what? 180. What do the sum of the interior angles look like here? Bigger than 180, right? So let me actually draw a nicer one that's really obvious. Let's take the top point to be the North Pole and 2 points on the equator. And these sides are just lines of longitude. And this is a latitude of the equator. What is this angle?
90.
What is this one? Okay, so we've already got 180 here, plus this. Okay, so if you draw a triangle on a curved surface, you will find that, yeah, there is a geometry, it's still a geometrical thing, but it's not the usual laws of geometry. Okay? In this case, the sum of the angles is bigger than 180. So this is a similar sort of thing going on. We have a triangle, there is a geometry. Okay, we have some kind of a relation like this, which looks like Pythagoras. But it's not quite the same as Pythagoras. It's not Euclidean geometry. It's a different kind of geometry. So it turns out that that this kind of geometry is still flat, but in a weird sort of way. Okay, so this kind of geometry is called Minkowskian geometry. So if we had c squared equals a squared plus b squared, that would be Euclidean geometry. But we have So this is in a two-dimensional space. In a two-dimensional space-time, one space, one time, it's c squared is a squared minus b squared. Okay, and just a tiny bit of history here. So Einstein had come up with this sort of physical picture of what's going on. He was the first to properly interpret what this this whole time dilation idea, and then one of his professors, whose name was Minkowski, looked at what Einstein had done and realized that, hey, underlying the physics that Einstein was talking about, there is a geometry. So and so now this geometry is called Minkowskian geometry. Okay, so to distinguish it from Euclidean geometry. Okay, so yeah, right. Okay, so let's look at two examples here of this interesting kind of geometry. Okay, so first we'll look at Euclidean geometry. So we'll take 2 points, call them alpha and beta. These are 2 points in space. points in a two-dimensional space. Okay, so two-dimensional space, what we mean by that is we have a coordinate system. Say this is a flat two-dimensional space, the space of the blackboard, and we put some coordinate system on it, x and y, and let's measure both x and y in meters. And we have two points in this space, say one of them over here, and say one of them over here, alpha and beta. And so someone is taking a trip, say, from here to here. And suppose that they take a, there's many ways to get from alpha to beta. So one way is just to take a straight line path from there to there. Okay, another way is maybe, so maybe Alice takes this path over here. And maybe Bob takes this path instead. He goes up to here, you know, visits someone over here, and then continues his journey up to this point, beta here. Okay? So let's just put in some numbers as an example. Okay, so suppose that the distance here is 3 meters or kilometers or whatever we want to use. And this is 4, and this is 4. So what are these sides? Okay, so we would find these sides by saying, well, this side length is the square root, according to Euclid, the square root of this squared plus this squared. And similarly, I have a right triangle here, so I go square root of 4 squared plus 3 squared is 5. It's 10. Okay, so what we have is for Bob here, it's 10. Whereas for Alice, the distance is only 8. So 10 is greater than 8. Okay, so when we look at that picture, we say, okay, let's measure this in kilometers. Okay, so we got these two points, two cities or whatever, and Alice takes a straight line path, and her odometer reads, 8 kilometers to get there. And then here's Bob. Bob takes a detour like this and then comes back. And his odometer reads 10 when he's done. And so when they get together again, so let's say they both leave with their odometers that read 0, and they take different paths to get from there to there. When they get together again, they compare their odometers and they say, oh, my odometer reads 10. Oh, your odometer reads 8. But it's not like a big deal, right? They just took different paths, right? Okay? So that's easy. Let's take an exactly analogous situation, but in Minkowskian geometry, space-time. Okay, so now what we do is we have a space axis. And we have a time axis, actually c times t. And maybe this is space and time according to Alice. Okay, so now we have a situation like this. We'll pick two points in this space-time. So this is alpha. Okay, so this is these are points in space and time. So maybe the point in space here we're talking about is Earth. And the point in time is now. So this is Earth now. And the point beta, you see it's the same point in space, so it's the same point on the Earth. So this is beta. Same point in space, but it's later in time. So it's Earth then. Okay, so we've got two events. The first event is here and now, this event, and then we wait a while. The second event is this event, which is the same place but a later time. Okay, so Earth now, Earth then. Okay, and there are lots of ways to get from Earth now to Earth then. One is to go like this. Here's Earth now. And here's Earth then. So one is just do nothing, just stand there. Okay, so this might be Alice's path, just standing there. Okay, she doesn't move in her space, she just moves in time. But now there's another way to get from here now to here then. I go here now, and then I run over here, then I run back. I'm still here, but later. Okay? So that's this path. Okay, I run over there, some distance away, and then I run back. Okay, so let's see. We've got two right triangles there, and let's just put some numbers on here. Let's measure both of these in meters. We're more used to meters here. Okay, and so we say, suppose this is 5, and this is 5, and so this is Alice's path between alpha and beta, and that's Bob's path between alpha and beta. And suppose that he ran to a distance of 3 meters and then runs back. So that's 3. Okay, so what are the lengths of these sides? Okay, so we use this Minkowskian idea. We take the square of this side is the square of this side minus the square of that side, and then we square root. So 25 minus 9 is 16, root of that is 4, and this is also 4. Okay, so we see, for Bob, the total time elapsed is 8, whereas for Alice, it's 5 plus 5 is 10. Okay, so if we compare these situations, first of all, they're identical in the following respect. They're identical in that basically Alice, in going from alpha to beta, she is measuring her time. Okay, so rather than using an odometer, so in this picture over here, Alice and Bob have an odometer in their car, and that thing rolls and rolls and rolls. As they're covering distance in space, that odometer rolls away and reads out how much distance they've covered in space. Okay, instead of an odometer here, in this picture you have a clock. Okay, so Alice has her watch, and her watch rolls around and around and around and measures her distance in space-time. Okay, it measures the elapsed time here from there, and that's 10. Okay, and Bob does the same thing. Bob's got his clock. As he's walking over here, his clock is rolling like this, just like an odometer. His clock rolls all the way back, and then when he gets back, he looks and he finds, oh, my clock reads only 8 compared to your clock, Alice, which reads 10. Okay, so they're exactly the same. And one way to sort of say this is basically a chronometer, which is an old-fashioned word for a clock, is a space-time odometer. Okay, so what your watch does, as you're walking around all day, your watch is like clicking away, tick, 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 tick. What your clock is doing is it is measuring the distance that you cover in space-time. Okay, so another example is, say, this. So suppose that you stay in the room here, okay, and so here's your space-time odometer. There's your clock just ticking away. And then I go away, and I walk around the building, and I do all kinds of stuff, and then I come back. So while I'm walking around, I'm covering some distance in space-time using this Minkowskian geometry rather than this usual Euclidean geometry. Okay, but the distance that I cover it's exactly the same thing. So my clock is recording the actual physical distance, the geometrical distance in space-time along that path. Okay, so that's all that time is. That's exactly what time is. Okay. So if we look at this, if we look at, say, the famous twins paradox. Okay, so the twins paradox, that's exactly what this is, right? So what we're doing is we're saying, say, here is Earth now and here is Earth later. And suppose that there's a planet here, you know, far away. This is the world line of the Earth. This is the world line of the planet. It remains some fixed distance away from the Earth. And say it's 3 light years away from the Earth. Okay, and then so Bob takes a trip over to that planet, and then he comes back like this. Okay, and so we say, suppose it's 5. So Alice says, oh, look, it took Bob 5 years to get from here to that planet, and then 5 years to get back. Okay, so 5 years, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So a total of 10 years has elapsed for Alice. But for Bob, there's this time dilation happening here. Okay, so it's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So a total of 8 for Bob compared to 10. Okay. So there's nothing mysterious about that. Are you okay with that? Does that make sense? Well, the Earth's what?
Moving too.
So, okay, so here we've taken the point of view that Alice is at rest, so her world line is vertical, and there's Bob, yeah, moving away and then coming back. But now we could try to take the point of view that Bob is at rest, so why can't we take the point of view that Bob is at rest? So Bob is in his spaceship, he's at rest in his spaceship, he sees Alice drift away, he gets to the planet, he turns around, he sees Alice come toward him. So why can't we just take the point of view that Bob is at rest and it's Alice who's moving? And then why wouldn't it be just the reverse? Why wouldn't it be only 8 years for Alice and 10 years for Bob? Do you see a problem with that?
No, because when Alice is coming back to Bob, and that with Bob's point of view being stationary,
yeah,
then she's gonna have to make a steeper angle than the angle that Bob's taking in this diagram. So it's gonna come out the same thing. Or rather, no, not a steeper angle.
Well, let's try to do it, okay? So how are we going to do this? So Bob is at rest, like this. The point of view that Bob is at rest. And then what does he see? He sees Alice going away in the other direction. And then still Bob at rest, we see Alice coming back like this. Okay? So this would be the reverse picture, and we would say, oh, well, okay, so it's only 4 and 4 for Alice, so a total of 8 for Alice. But then it'll be 10 for Bob, and it's the reverse. So why can't I just do this? If I've got that, why can't I just do that? Yeah.
Well, it's because you're assuming that in order for Bob to go from there to there, but in reality, he has to accelerate his way to reverse his direction, and then therefore the special relativity works a bit differently, and therefore you can't do that.
Okay. I agree. Yeah, absolutely. So there are two reasons why we can't do this. One of them is physical. Okay, so in this picture, this is a straight line. Okay, and so it means that there's no acceleration, moving at a constant velocity, in this case, 0. Okay, and this is also constant velocity, but when we get to here, it's actually there's some acceleration. Bob, the line bends here. Okay, so Bob has to change his velocity from moving to the right to moving to the left. So he has to slow down, stop, turn around, and pick up speed again. So he has to accelerate. Okay, so at this point over here, Alice feels absolutely nothing. Right? It's just, you know, the usual day, right? Here, Bob, he spends his whole day like super braking, and then super accelerating back. Okay, so he's well aware that something is happening here, even though all his windows are closed and everything, right? Okay, so there's something physically different about that. So we can't simply do this to this. These are not equivalent, because it's in this picture that Alice is accelerating and Bob is not. Okay, so there's physical acceleration. And secondly, geometrically, this is not the same figure. Right? This is a straight line, and what we've done is we've gone ink and we've bent it, and then we took this bent line and we went ink and we straightened it. This is not the same picture geometrically, right? Okay, so we can't just bend lines or straighten them out again. Yeah.
Younger than her, because for him it was like 8 years, but for Bob, Alice is younger than him, so who's younger?
Yeah, so this picture is not valid.
Okay, but
this is the reality. So in this picture here, so this is valid, and this is what actually happens. So Alice's watch, so anyone's watch, what it does is, as you move around in space-time, it records distance that you've covered. Alice covered a distance of 10 years. Bob covered a distance of 8 years.
Okay, but if we take a point of view of Bob it will be remarried.
Okay, but we're not allowed to do that. Because these are not the same. So in this point of view here, Bob accelerated. But in this point of view, Bob didn't. And so they're not the same situation.
It's in his shape or something. He doesn't feel anything. And for him, it's like...
But he does feel something. When he approaches the planet, his retro rockets blast to decelerate him. So he definitely feels he's blasted against the wall like this. And then his rocket engines fire again and blast him the other way. So he definitely feels something,
example,
even though his windows are closed.
So for example, if we're in the train or something,
right?
From our point of view, we are at rest because we are sitting. Yeah, and for us, everything around us.
That's right. Bob is at rest with respect to his spaceship all the time. He looks around. He's never moving in his spaceship. He's locked into his little seat with seatbelts. But he definitely feels that acceleration still.
Yeah, but we can take a perspective that he's at rest and Alice is moving from him away.
But it's different though, because Alice never feels any acceleration, whereas Bob does.
How would you draw off Bob's world in his reference?
So in his reference frame, so it would be like this. Yeah, so from his point of view, he is at rest.
Wouldn't Alice's be straight diagonal and his be curved even steeper?
Okay, so let's do it this way. So we're going up like this. And then if Bob continues on like this, then Alice is sort of steeper upward like that. Yeah, I'm not sure that you can do it that way. Yeah, so again, it's still, that's right, again, Alice has an acceleration here. Okay, so they're physically different. They're physically inequivalent. Okay, and geometrically inequivalent.
I think that you can't even bend Alice's line. So if you do it in Bob's point of view, you must somehow make Alice keep a straight line and make Bob's time.
Well, when he accelerates, shouldn't he leave whatever inertial frame of reference he's at, right? So his timeline for that frame of reference would keep going straight, but he'd have to bend that. So if we drew the initial path that he had as a straight line, and then Alice's as a straight line at an angle off of that one, and then at the point where he changes directions, he'd have to leave his straight line. So there would be no more at rest.
Yeah.
It would be that path that he was taking would still be at rest.
Yeah. Another way to think about this, to see that it's physically different, is that so something that has been said a couple of times and we haven't actually derived yet is the idea that in a gravitational field, time moves more quickly up here than it does down here. Okay? So in this picture, we can sort of think of it this way. Bob is drifting along at a constant velocity here. And so he's in his spaceship like this. Okay, and he's facing toward Alice over here, and he's drifting through space this way. Okay, and then when he comes near the planet, he blasts his rocket engines so that he decelerates, comes to rest, and then accelerates again back. Okay, so during the time that he's accelerating, slowing down, and picking up speed in the other direction, what sort of force does he feel? In which direction does he feel the force? In which direction does he feel himself pushed? So in terms of his spaceship, does he feel a force? Does he feel like he's being pushed this way or that way? So it feels like he's being pushed against the back here. So it feels to him as if there's a gravitational field in this direction. Now as far as he's concerned, that gravitational field occurs everywhere in space. He doesn't know. And so, basically, if he were to drop an object here, let it go, it would accelerate that way. Okay? And that would be true for objects anywhere, no matter how far away. So you can think of him way over here near that planet, and Alice way over here on the Earth. Okay? And so from Bob's perspective, he's seeing Alice in a gravitational field a very, very great distance away. Okay? So here I am on the Earth. Time is moving more slowly than it is up here. And, or let me say it the other way. Time is moving at some rate over here. It's moving faster here even faster here, even faster here. Okay, so from Bob's point of view here, he's looking up at Alice and he's saying, wow, her time must be moving really fast. Okay, so during the time that he's accelerating, there's a certain sense in which time is moving very quickly for Alice. And so even though Bob looks back at Alice and says, yeah, your clock is running slow, okay, there's then this acceleration phase in which her clock runs extra fast. And it makes up for the difference so that, in fact, her clock at the end of the day reads 10 instead of something less than 8. Okay? So we will talk a little bit about that tomorrow. But you have, and you also have an exercise on this, which I think you'll have a lot of fun with. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So what you're saying is here's the sun and here's the Earth, and Alice is on the Earth and Bob is way over here traveling to that planet. Alice herself is accelerating because she's in motion around the sun, orbiting around the sun. So that's true. And the effect would be that, as we'll see a bit tomorrow, the effect would be that her time runs a tiny bit slower than it would if she were just floating in empty space, you know, near the sun, at rest with respect to the sun, floating in empty space. Okay, so actually, when we draw a picture like this, what we're imagining is really that Alice is at rest in empty, just floating in empty space, and there are no massive objects around. There's not even the Earth or the sun. Okay, so it's really just someone floating in empty space and someone drifting in some rocket ship over here and then coming back, and everything happens in empty space. Yeah.
The time on your watch is lower. Is that always going to take a shorter path
to space time? Space time? Or is that just like a trade off for time for space?
No, it is. It is always the, not the shortest, it's actually always the longest. Okay, so. If you look at this situation here, in fact, why don't we just do an example here, put in some numbers.